The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Denver. The voice of the people. News Talk 710.
Yeah, pretty much the exact polar opposite of anything you would ever hear on NPR. This is the Peter Boyle Show on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Believe that. Good morning, everyone. It's really overcast. Looks like Detroit out there this morning. Maybe Pittsburgh, Gary, Indiana, Cleveland. It's a Monday, the 25th of January, 2021. Good old 710 KNUS. Thanks for being here. Light snow and 35 will be the high. Tuesday, 26 in light snow. Wednesday, the sun comes out. I have Wednesday off, Thursday off, Friday off, and then Monday and Tuesday off. And I'm texting with Randy. Stefan has Wednesday, Thursday, Friday doing the show. And Randy and Jimmy are going to have Monday and Tuesday. A couple of quick things. Rick Crandall, they have flipped the radio station that Ricky put all his time in, KEZW. And he put a nice email up. Ricky will be with us when we get back on Wednesday. We're talking about old radio today. So there's a good man, Rick Crandall, really, really good man. He's written a really good thing if you get to Facebook. And I have a column up. Go to the website, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, about I heard it on the radio is what I titled it. And it was announced about 20 minutes ago. Giuliani is sued by Dominion Voting Systems over false claims. These lawsuits are going to begin. That's kind of what I wrote about in the column at 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. Without further ado, talking about great voices on the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we spoke with Rogan a moment ago, but this is the man. And I say this all the time. There's a handful of guys that got radio. Dave Logan literally takes off a helmet, sits in front of a microphone. Mike Rosen, who literally comes out of business and does radio. The late, great Alan Berg, and this guy, the hitman, Joe Williams. The hitman is my man. My man, good morning.
That's me, cloudy with meatballs.
Oh, my boy, my boy, my boy. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey.
Could be better, living the life. That's right.
That's me and you. I got to be
not pulling any checks, but living the life.
not kicking back the jams, but I know it. How did you get on? It was Irv brought you in as a caller because we were talking about radio history with Larry King passing away.
That's right. Yeah.
How did that work?
Well, I was listening to Irv and Woody at KHOW, I think. I think they were KHOW. Yeah, they were.
Okay.
And they did a show, and I was in the house business at the time. You know, we do all our business on the weekend. So during the week, I'm sitting there at a desk, you know, drawing cartoons. And, you know, I turned on the radio, and there they were. That's right down my alley. And, you know, I kind of started listening, and every once in a while I'd hear something. I thought they were full of beans. I'd call them up and tell them. And, I had no idea. A year later, you know, here's Irv knocking on my door. He says, "We want you to come to work and sell." And that's kind of how it got started. But, now, my interest in radio, and this is the truth, and you know it is. I told you a million
times.
In the early 70s, I was commuting back and forth between – I was living in Loveland. I was working for Wood Brothers Homes. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving back and forth from Loveland down here to Denver where I was working. And I would listen to you doing AAA. Yeah. I thought you of course, my three radio heroes, you, Bob Lee, and Hal Moore.
There it is.
And I just loved it. And
Two of them.
Couldn't get enough.
Two of them were great. The dog.
I couldn't get enough.
The dog and beautiful Bob. You know, that was my luck shot, man, to do traffic and travel reports with Bobby on Saturday mornings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's, I mean, you were great, too. Right?
Well, he was.
But... who is this guy? And, you know, nobody told me about you. I did it on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, just doing little channel, you're pushing the buttons, you know, and driving that 66 Chevy of mine we called the Blue Eagle.
I remember that.
Smoke coming out the back
sure,
end, you know.
Sure. We're all driving Leakers, man. I mean, I had a 63 Volkswagen Bug, and, they, you know, they talk about Harley Davidson's leaking back in the day. Man, that was a... that was a quart a week in that Volkswagen, but
tell you one thing, they started on cold mornings, though, didn't they?
You know, near as I can remember, they got, you know, them the old line. If you say you remember the '60s, you really weren't there.
Joe, you really weren't there.
The hitman, Joe Williams. We're talking about so many things that I want you to comment on. I know we got about half an hour with you. Let's begin. Well, first of all, when you got that first gig, you were selling time, but then you were going on the air too, weren't you?
Yeah, I basically I'd go in with them for about an hour. Remember when Bowens fired everybody at KWBC?
Sure.
That's where I came aboard.
That's when I remember. Yeah, that's what I remember.
Yeah, Van Curious, you remember him?
I am Curious Van.
And he was, that's right.
Got stories, Bubba, got stories.
So I was selling time. I figured, well, Irv came after me, and yeah. I figured out what I'd got myself into, and I always figured, well, I'll give this thing about 6 months. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I can always go back selling houses.
Sure.
That's what I figured. Yeah. And that's basically how I got started. And, once we went over to KLAK over there on Wadsworth, you know, I think that's where Uncle Mike used to work, wasn't it?
Well, we all did. Bob and I worked there, and that was in the house, and Bob and I and Unc did afternoons.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I had lunch with Unc about 8 months ago. I'm trying to get him to come do a radio show with me. But Uncle Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and the old man. Lindsey English. There's a name. Billy Ashford. Handsome Roger. I mean, I can still do the lineups of guys he worked with. And that's where I met Charlie. I met Charlie there. I mean, I met...
oh, yeah, the Red Baron, Lindsey English, all those guys.
All those guys, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you knew them all. Yeah.
Oh. Knew them.
I'm more than you wanted to
knew
know.
Them. But and that's and I'm and but when I broke in, that's where I met Woody. Woody had come to town, and at the Rocky and start doing these outrage. And this is what I say about you. You know, I say it too is about Sandy as well. And to and I really love him as a young guy on here. D-Mac and I just think because you did it. You what you did, and I say this privately and publicly. Everybody else was a homer. You weren't a homer. And Woody made everybody mad because in his columns, the original Woody columns, Woody wasn't a homer either, was he?
No, absolutely not. He came in and kind of, and, you know, and of course I kind of sparked the newspaper wars, you know, the News and the Post.
Sure.
And back and forth and trying to steal each other's stuff and each other's writers. And Woody had a different, he sounded different. Than a lot of people did, and he had a different perspective, and I liked the way he wrote in the paper, and it all kind of worked, and Irv was a little bit different, because, you know, if we all agree, we got no show, right?
Well, Irv grew up here, you know, Irv had a deep ties here, and, you know, Hal found Irv, you know, and what the, you know, at Irv's service when, I mean, it was like the time machine of Denver radio.
You know, yes, it was.
I was sitting with Frank DeAngelis, you and your wife, Sandy and his wife. I mean, Hal's there, Linda's there. I mean, it was a history of Denver radio, all sitting in that private service.
Yeah, Irv Brown, I think, had more influence on more people when it comes to sports than anybody that's ever lived in this state.
I agree.
And I think he was liked by more people. The longer I worked with him, the more I found it out. I mean, people would come up 30, 40 years after Irvin coached him. He'd remember their name. I didn't know how he did it.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know how he did it.
First time.
And
he had that great line, "Give me your card, I'll give you a hit."
Yo, yeah.
How many times, hit man?
Keep it hot.
How many times? Give me your card.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of them. You told me one time, this is a Joe Williams, Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS, with everything that's happened, it's a nice morning to do this. You take me someplace, and a guy shows up in a Batman suit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for real. I'm going, all right. And I think I just gained my sobriety. And the guy's got a I'm going back. I said, I'm going back. You know, I went in, come and see him, and I'm walking in, you know, and I was shaking in bars anyhow, you know. It's a guy in a Batman suit drinking a beer. I went, well, wait a minute. How did this happen? But you guys, you killed it. You really did. I mean, all of those great years, all that fun. It was always a good time.
Well, you know, we did have fun, and I heard a caller earlier on the show today, Buffet Bob, a guy who had listened to our show for years, and, you know, we got to form a lot of relationships with these callers, because we were out on the road a lot, as you would call.
Yeah, sure.
And we were always out there, and people come out, and you just naturally, and they were kind of the backbone of the show, and hardcore. Well, I wish we'd had more of them. But you know what? For 25, 30 years, we had enough.
Yeah.
And guys like Buffet Bob and the Batman suit, the guy you're talking about, I know exactly who you're talking about. We had a guy show up one time in a dog suit, and he called. He went by the name of King. And
Batman suit.
He'd be coming and he'd go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. And he's in this dog suit.
No, it's a Batman guy. You're in a bar. I'm going in to see. I think I'd been sober for like a cup of coffee, right? I walk into that bar. There's a guy drinking a beer in a Batman suit.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
I got to go home. Oh, God. It was a better time. It was a better time, I think. You know, it was Sandy, too. When I was at KOA, and at Sandy, it was Larry Zimmer and Bob Martin. And they bring this young kid in, and it's Sandy. And he had come out of, like, New York. His dad, I think, was with GE or something. And he's become such a great friend and a great talent. But he would – that Berg knocked that thing. Berg would go, sir, sir, and he, you know, rip into the guy. And Sandy got that stopper now. Sir, are you listening to the same radio show I'm doing? You know, that kind of thing. And just burn the guys. And
he'd do the call-in shows after the Bronco games.
Yes.
You know, talking to all the drunks, you know, the losing bettors.
Yes.
You know?
You live for that. You live for that. Because Bobby.
Hey, you know who Bert Sugar was, don't you?
Sure, of course. Great fight writer. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was the premier boxing historian.
Yeah, sure.
And really became a good friend of our show over the years. You know, we'd always run into him in Vegas and that. And Sandy's dad played softball with Bert Sugar.
Wow.
Back in the
Wow. Because that was an era.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're all working for GE. I was telling a story earlier. And they're going to suspend Berg for one of his many things. And I'm doing mornings and he's doing afternoons. And we had a midday show. And Sandy's there. And Larry's there. And Bob's there. You know, Gus is there. Just all the monsters. And so they're going to give Alan a 3-day off for some shenanigans. And they, you know, Joel Day took really good care of him. So I forget who's off. Come on, Michelle, I'm going to talk. We go in, there was a flow chart for General Electric. And just a true story. And we're looking for, it says, there was small household appliances. And then the box down, believe it, it said broadcast properties. And he blows up. And he goes, we're below toaster ovens. You see where we are? We're toaster ovens. And he goes, checks are good, aren't they? Oh. And, you know, that was like, I don't know if it was a better time or a worse time. I just think it was a time. And,
well, I can say I've never got suspended once. Got fired a few times. Never suspended.
Well, that was the great one. Well, everybody here, not you, you know. But I don't know, Joe. Irv was the best. Irv, and the thing is, Irv brought Dave in. Didn't Irv bring Dave in?
Absolutely. Yep.
Tell that story.
Yep. Well, Dave, he came here from Cleveland after 9 years, and we got pretty excited because Dave was a local guy. And, you know, had been a star for the Browns. And, by the way, you talk about underpaid.
Oh.
These guys get two, three receivers. You'll see them drop balls during a game three, four, five times, even the best Bronco receivers. And Dave, I think, had one drop in 9 years playing with the Browns.
Wow.
And he was playing many times with people like the rifle-armed Brian Sipe. He's hanging them out to dry. Hey, Dave took, he took every blow there was. Never dropped the ball. But he came in, and he was a natural on the radio.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, he was a natural, and he was popular here anyway because he was one of the few guys who was a star here who could have gone anywhere, Notre Dame, Nebraska, any place, mm-hmm. and he chose to stay at CU. You know, a lot of the kids leave the state now, and they go someplace else to play. And back then it happened some, too, but Dave was a guy who stayed home, and so naturally we all had a soft spot in our heart for him because he did that and, you know, helped promote the local team. And so when he came back into Denver, of course, his folks lived here, and so he comes back here, and I think he wants to make his home here. And Irv brought him in. You know, we'd had him on the air a couple of times, and it just clicked. Like you said, he immediately got it.
I got it.
Everything he's ever touched has turned to gold.
True.
He's one of those guys that you run into in your life, and there aren't very many who they don't miss a trick. And
the best. I mean, I tell people.
That's right. And the rest is history. Yeah,
I'll tell you, for one of my great highlights of a everlasting career, I got to work in professional wrestling. Do the ring.
I know.
Do
your
TV.
Stories are legendary.
Oh, I mean, I never had a better time. And I found a picture of me and Bobby Heenan. I'm going to bring it, and the crowd is going to put it up. I got a rented tux on. I'm in the ring with Heenan. So in comes Leon White, who becomes Vader. He becomes Vader. So, and when he passed away, you know, Dave broke kayfabe. He came over and did the show over here on Leon's death. And when I met Leon, he had come in as the baby bull. You know, he was like, he was a face. He wanted to heal. He becomes a heel, right? But he was a face. So we're talking, and I was, you know, I knew Dave. He was, you know, getting a foot in the business. So Leon was a really good guy. I mean, so I said, who's the toughest guy you ever met in your life? Leon White says, Dave Logan. For real. I mean, and Dave always said it about Leon. He always said the toughest guy he knew was Leon. But Leon said the toughest guy he knew was Dave Logan. And that's in a world of really tough guys. I mean, and he said it about Dave. But the other one was Mike Hafner. Remember Hafner?
I do.
So I'm working with Hafner. Hafner, when he played football, he lived with Ricky Nelson. You want stories? You want stories? You want stories? He's telling stories about living in Hollywood with Ricky Nelson. He's telling me and Hal and, you know, the troops. I'm going, damn, man. I'm behind. I'm way behind. But those guys, there was just something about that era of guys that they came into this business and made an impact. And you and I were, you know, we're five and dimers. You know, we catch a break. But those guys, man, and Bob Martin and Larry, what do you think the ratings were back then for the Broncos and with a couple of different, you know, places?
Say that again, Pete.
I said back then. What do you think that the ratings were, the TV ratings and the radio ratings were in that first Super Bowl when Red Miller? What do you think they put over?
Oh, 1977.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen anything like that year before or since, and I wasn't in the business then. I've never seen anything like it. And Red Miller could have run for governor.
Oh, yeah.
And won in a landslide. That was, you know, because the Broncos had, you know, they'd been so bad for so many years ever since they came in the league, you know, and John Ralston came in the middle 70s and gave him some credibility. You know, he signed Charlie Johnson, who came in to play quarterback, who was a real player. He was old, but, you know, they got respectable. And then Red Miller comes in and changes everything. They go 12-2, go to the Super Bowl that year. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in the whole town. Well, you remember, Pete.
Sure, of course.
The whole town was wearing orange. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy.
Now, the reason I asked that story, is that Tampa Bay now? Is that the Broncos in the first Super Bowl with Red and everything that happened? Do you think that's equivalent to Tampa Bay right now and Brady?
No. Well, I can't speak for them down there, but they've got an established star. Tom Brady's an established star. The Broncos were they had, you know, I mean, Craig Morton, who was a, you know, a good guy but past his prime, had to get out of a hospital bed to play in the playoff game against Oakland. You know, and the Broncos were, and at that time, the Raiders and the Steelers basically were the kings. And the Broncos were an upstart and did things that nobody thought. I think a lot of people thought Tampa Bay had a shot with Tom Brady. And they had some other pieces in place. Not being down there, I can't speak for them, but I don't think that's anywhere near the story that the Broncos were here. But down there, their fans may
say something
else.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Yeah, because I need to do a turnaround. Can you stay through a break? You want to go 5 minutes more, and we'll cut it there? And
as long as you want.
You're good to go? All right.
I'm good to go.
I'm getting a lot of great email. Joe Williams is here. Billy has something he's going to play for us. When we come back, pick them. What do you think's going to – how's it going to dope it out? And I don't know if we've talked about this. The same guy wrote that book, Dynasty, and that book is just amazing to me about New England and the Crafts and Belichick. And then he wrote the other book he wrote about Tiger Woods, and there's now an HBO. And I tell you what, I walked away from – I don't know anything about sports, obviously. But, man, what an amazing story that is. So – I want you to come back, greatest all-time fighters, best sports books, best movies, and we'll see if we can get some calls in here. The legendary Joe Williams, who I love to death. I'm going to see her today because I go on a Tuesday, but I'm going to get on some vacation time to see Dr. McCallum this afternoon. Dr. McCallum, Zenogenics, I am towards the end of my 70s now, and I never felt better. I mean, it really is. She changed my life. Do the same for you. Winter is here. I skied Saturday. Time for prime time to get outside, enjoy all the Colorado has to offer. Give Zenogenics a call. You could have more energy, strength, better health, little as 4 weeks, but you got to begin the beginning. Listen to what the woman says. Call her at 720-387-3681 and follow up what she says. 720-387-3681. Jackie answers the phone, and you can make a 20-minute phone call with Dr. McCallum. Set it up for free. She changed my life. She'll change yours. Denver.Zenogenics.com. 720-387-3681.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is the Peter Boyles Show.
Here it is.
1978 will be the year. The Battle of New Orleans will once again be here. The hurt snorting Broncos went a thundering toward the goal, and they ended up in battle in your basic Super Bowl.
Remember this song?
Well, they scalped some Chiefs and the decimated Raiders. They backed a bunch of Bengals and corralled the mighty Colts. They mashed up Oilers like a bowl of sweet potatoes.
That and John Keyworth.
Here's
the time. Morning, everybody. It's a Monday, January 25th, 2021. 710 KNUS. I'm Peter Boyles. Good morning. Joe Williams is with us. I'm reading the lawsuit that's part of against Giuliani, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. Here's the significance in the lawsuit. Dominion accused Giuliani, former President Donald Trump's lawyer, of creating a viral disinformation campaign about Dominion. And they go on. Giuliani did this. He propagated disinformation, misleading voters, because Giuliani and others incessantly repeated the false claims. I wrote a column. It's up. On our website, go to me, Peter Boyles, and just go to 710KNUS/Peter Boyles and go to columns, and it's up now called I Heard It on the Radio. It's my favorite time of year, ski season. Skied Saturday. Winter Park was great. And Ellen Graham from our sales department, her kids, we skied, and the snow was good. It's great in Winter Park. You know how it is. You make your resis at the resorts. And then if you haven't, visit Larson Ski and Sport for all your needs, gear for the season. Now, there's a thing called, and it's great, you can rent demos, meaning rent near new, or just rent every day. Depends on, you know, what you want to do, how good you are. Try stuff out. Snowboards, cross countries, fats, rockers, whatever you're looking for. In snowboards, I don't know anything about snowboards, but there's about a bazillion of them here. Helmets, goggles, suits, everything that goes with it. Good people, they fit you. They fit it well. Ski boots are always kind of interesting. If your feet hurt, they have custom boot fitting experts. Larson's is so convenient. Stop on the way up, on the hill, on the way down. So you're going westbound on I-70. You get off on the Kipling exit. Come down the ramp. Make a left. Go underneath I-70. As soon as you come out of the tunnel underneath I-70, look to your right. You see an empty, it's an old village inn, it's empty. Next to that big, huge wooden box building, that's Larson. Larson, John Marriott and the guys at Larson, absolute experts at everything that you'll need for winter sports. Stop in today and tell them I sent you. 7 days a week, can't miss. Larson Ski and Sports South of I-70 on Kipling. The website is LARSON Larsonsport.com. 303-423-0654. Do yourself a favor, Larson Sport. Because of the big weekend, everything that's happened, and Tom Brady gives Tampa Bay a Super Bowl home, the hitman Joe Williams is with us. We're doing old radio. Because
hey, Pete.
Yeah,
yo. Pete, do you ski the black ones?
Yeah.
How's your knees holding up?
You know, because I'm skinny. Because I'm old.
That's right. You know, you eat those herbs and roots. I've been trying to get you off that for years.
Sticks and stones.
Come join me for a couple of fat cheeseburgers, baby.
You know what? There's more and more and more. As I age. No, I mean, I can get down. You know, it's like, but it's like, it's for another day. But, yeah, I can do that. But
that's good. I haven't skied in 20 years.
Well, you're due. Here we go again.
Yeah.
You know what? Also, it was announced, another good friend of ours, Rick Crandall. And
as a matter of fact, yeah, absolutely. Rick's a great guy. I've known him for 30 years. Longer than that, I think.
They flipped the format, and he's out.
Yeah.
He's out at KEZW. And
I know the feeling.
Well, don't we? And so isn't that called We're Going in Another Direction? That was what they always said. We're going in another direction. And you're
Pete,
not...
I remember when K-Big went under. It's Christmas. I'm driving into the station, turning on. They're playing Spanish music.
Listen to me. I don't want to do this. The Cat Radio, where I got my first gig, and I was working with Gus and Eddie Green and everybody. As you got off the air, they said, John wants to see you. I thought it was a Christmas bonus.
Oh, yeah, right. It's a Christmas bonus, all right.
Yeah, that was. And I'm so stupid. How
you
stupid.
And Clark Griswold.
Oh. And they said, however, would you like to come back Christmas morning and run tapes?
Yeah.
The Hallelujah Chorus. I needed money
That's
so
good.
Bad, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
These guys put me, but they put all of us in the street. But I'm back there Christmas morning.
Don't we know it.
Playing Christmas tunes.
Rick's a good man. He'll bounce.
He's going to come
He'll
on the show.
Back.
When
yeah,
I get back,
good.
Yeah. I'll get back. Actually, we got to do this thing, put you guys on together, and you guys tell stories. Rick Crandall, who's just a good guy. Joe Williams is here. All right. Dope this one out, the Super Bowl. Who do you got? Who do you like?
This is pretty easy, Pete. As a starter, I think that the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes as a starter, I think they've won 25 out of the last 26 games. What's that tell you?
Well, but what, is Brady that sleeper?
Well, I mean, I give him his due, but I've never seen anything like Mahomes.
No, you're the
this
judge.
This guy is different. Brady's not like Mahomes. Brady's got his list of accomplishments. I take nothing away from him. It's a mile long. But this Mahomes, I've never seen anything like him. And furthermore, other people who follow football and who know more about it than I do, they also share that feeling. They've never seen anything like him. Brady is it's almost incomprehensible at his age that he'd still be playing the sport. But you've got to remember, you know, he did not play in the era of Bradshaw and Stabler and Staubach when they just killed quarterbacks. You can't breathe on a quarterback now. You know, that's one of the things that's enabled him to stay upright as long as he have. I've taken nothing away from him. All right, because at his age to be doing what he's doing is incredible. All right, but he never gets touched, and I think his arm strength still looks pretty good. Arians knows the coach; they know how to throw the football, and they do a lot of play action, which is Tom's strength. He's not going to, you're going to see him run bootlegs, things like that. He didn't do that. He's a pocket guy, and I give him their due. But down through the years, he's also been very, very lucky. And some people are, we've heard the old saying, rather be lucky than good.
Absolutely.
Well, he's been both, but he's been very lucky. He was lucky last week against the Saints. His team is down 20-13. Saints are rolling. And the pass over the middle to the tight end, the tight end's running free, and all of a sudden he drops the football. Turns the whole game around. They're going to go up by 13-14. That's going to be game, set, and match. Down through the years, remember the interception on the goal line of the Super Bowl against Seattle.
Yeah.
You remember that. Remember the 28-3 lead that the Atlanta Falcons had. And all they've got to do is tuck the football, kick the field goal, game is over. It doesn't happen. Credit to Brady. He comes out and he does his job. But he's been very fortunate. He's very fortunate this year. Things kind of fell into place for him yesterday against Green Bay. Some of the stupidest decisions I've ever seen made on a football field. Right? I mean, crazy decisions. And you can see Aaron Rodgers just on them. This guy looks like he lost his best friend after the game. Brady's the beneficiary of that. Once again, I'll give him credit, but they didn't do jack in the second half, and Green Bay basically just turned the game over to him. This is my opinion, right?
Yeah. My opinion.
All right. But Kansas City, I will take Kansas City by two touchdowns, and won't be the first time I've ever been wrong.
All right, let me, because of time, let me jump back and forth. The death of Hank Aaron. What did Hank Aaron mean?
Irv and I had a chance to interview him on several occasions, and he was probably the most underrated baseball player. And when I say underrated, you know, he didn't. He always said, you know, if I had played in the big cities like New York and Chicago, he said it might have been different for me. And I think he always held back a little bit that he was not appreciated because he played in Milwaukee instead of New York or Chicago. But he didn't like, by the way, we all knew him as Hank Aaron. He didn't really like being called Hank. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. But you know who told me that was Buck O'Neill.
Wow.
And, but anyway, that's beside the point. Here's what you need to know, other than if you take away the 750, all his home runs, if you take those away, Pete, he still has 3,000 hits. He's the all-time leader in RBIs. He's the all-time leader in stolen bases. And here's the one that just slays me. 23 years in the big leagues, he never went on the DL.
Yeah.
Never. 23 years. These guys get a hangnail, and they're out for 2 weeks.
Henry
Aaron. Never went out.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming up, Pete, we know how it was for black players back then many of the major league players were from the South. You knew that, right?
Oh,
many
yeah, I mean, you read the stories.
They were slow. They were slow to accept the black players. You know, one or two did, three or four here and there. I was raised in the South. All right, so I'm a son of segregation. I understand exactly what was going on and how people were treated. And Henry Aaron was no different than anybody else. And he knew that what he did, he didn't have nearly the things going for him that other ball players did. But he was great, although he was very average in the field. In the outfield, he didn't have Clemente's arm. Nobody did, really, in right field, right? You remember Clemente,
sure,
of course.
We talked about him earlier.
Played in your town. And he was very average in the field. But, you know, he could have stolen probably 30, 40 bases a year. But he had Eddie Matthews and Joe Adcock hitting behind him. So he never got to run like Willie Mays. You know, Willie Mays would steal bases. You know, he was never compared, I think, fairly to Willie Mays. Fairly or unfairly, but his impact on the game and how long he played, he was just a legend, but that was unappreciated, I think. And then, of course, the spotlight turned on him when he was approaching Ruth's record.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the stories.
Yeah, they'll be missing. They're true. Apparently, everything that I've ever read, the threats began and.
Oh, yeah, on him and his family all that. And he had to go through that. And, you know, it wasn't fair, obviously. It was not fair. But for all he accomplished, he probably was America's greatest living ball player, maybe second living ball player. And always took a back seat, though, to Mays, Mantle, and DiMaggio, I think, you know, in terms of how he's looked at.
Because the rap always, our guest is one and only Joe Williams, the Hitman, talking about a bunch of stuff. You opened with it when you were talking about it. The stuff that I've read, and he was, you know, when I'm a kid growing up, he was, you know, he was the Milwaukee Braves, and I was this little diehard Pirates fan. Him, Lou Burdett, Warren Spahn, all those guys, they were so good. And they came, they beat the Pirates up, and it'd be like somebody shot your dog when you're a kid, when you're a fan. But The rap always was that I've read, and I've just read the history. Had he played, as you mentioned, in New York, or he had played in a big city, and this is obviously before the, well, actually, the Dodgers go to L.A. And the Giants do go to San Francisco, but pretty much wasn't baseball pretty much above the Mason-Dixon line and no further west than Mississippi. And
yeah,
he played baseball
until the Dodgers went to San, you know, went to Los Angeles.
Yeah,
the
right.
Giants went to San Francisco.
Right, right.
And yeah, when they left, but Aaron, of course, he did not play in the big cities. He finishes out his career down in Atlanta. Actually, mm-hmm. I think he finished it back playing with the Brewers for a couple mm-hmm. of years. But I don't think he ever really got the
credit he deserved. You mentioned Clemente. I've told the story and written about it. Going to the, we sold bonds to play ball. You had to go into bars and stuff and sell. Us and the nuns, right, collecting money. And then they brought him to this bakery. It was Bob Friend, Elroy Face, and him. And we couldn't figure out who he was because he didn't speak English or we didn't think he spoke
English. Right, yeah.
I mean, and I grew up with guys' grandmas and mothers and dads speaking Polish and Italian and Sicilian. And, you know, so it wasn't any rare thing. But we didn't figure out a black guy could do that. You know, it was like – and it wasn't like a race thing. Right? It was like – We just didn't, we couldn't figure it out. And his baseball card, he was Bob. And, you know, he got knocked around pretty good, too. I'm a big
fan.
I'm a big fan. I mean, I love the guy, but.
Well, he was, yeah. He transcended the game. He was something else.
He lost his life doing.
See, the one thing about football and basketball, you got guys different now. The you know, the athletes are so big and strong. They're tall football players. You know, the 1950 Los Angeles Rams won the NFL title. Their starting offensive line averaged 200 pounds a guy. You can't even play in the league. But the one thing about baseball that's different than the other sports is there's no premium on size, right? The players and the stars of yesteryear, you know, they could play today and they would still be stars. Mantle only weighed 190 pounds,
yeah.
Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
Hit the ball farther and harder than anybody who ever lived, right?
Well, that's
played 190
pounds. And that's the Tiger Woods thing. It's like, I don't know anything about golf, Joe. I'm not even trying to say I know about golf.
Hey, neither do I. Me and you are equal.
But
so.
The point of it, this book is so powerful about, he's like his dad and he's like this little kid and he's and his dad's who his dad is, you know, is like he's... But Earl. He isn't who he is without his dad. It's like this really, really interesting relationship and his mom and everybody, and he gets himself jammed up a couple of times. But he has this clarity that I just think the world of. But they're talking about bringing him on the Mike Douglas show when he's a little kid, and then there's a moment where he's killing everybody in the juniors. And he's like 12, and he's beating 16, 17-year-old kids. So I don't even know, some country club in San Diego – and they bring him in. Now, here's a black kid in this time frame, just like you're talking about, and he's a rarity, if not an oddity. And there's a swing coach. This is in the book. I can't wait to get this guy on the show. This guy charges $300 an hour as a swing coach. And Earl brings the kid in, and Tiger's like, I don't know, I forget the age. He said, hit the ball. The guy sees him hit. He said, I'll coach him for free.
You're born with a swing.
Well, that, you know, I think it's true with so many things we're talking about. The great guys in radio, the three or four that I can mention, you know, Dave, you, Mike Rosen, and Alan Berg, you had it. You got it. There was no learning curve. You just sat down and boom, you did it. And you wonder about that kind of stuff, like Mickey Mantle's dad, Mutt. You know, I've read all that kind of stuff. There's a book called The Last Boy about, and it's a sad, tragic book about Mickey Mantle. But his dad and his grandfather, and you know, that he had this great gift. Hank Aaron. I mean, you imagine being a black kid coming up in the South, and I think he played in the Negro Leagues for a while. I think somebody picked him.
Yeah, he played with the Indianapolis Clowns.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah. And then for a couple of years before he was called up to the big leagues. But, you know, all the black stars that we mm-hmm. missed because of segregation, way things were.
Oh, please.
You know, that we did not get to see play.
How about fighters, Joe? The same thing was true. I mean, after Jack Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they really got screwed. You know, Archie Moore, as good as, I mean, what a legendary fighter. You know, he never fought for a title of any kind until he was 35 years old.
He was too old to fight.
Archie Moore.
Yeah.
And he went on to become the light heavyweight champion of the world. And, and this, that, and the other, but he never had a chance. Ezra Charles, one of the greatest fighters that nobody ever heard of.
Here's how good
the
we are.
The Cincinnati Cobra.
There you go. I was going to say, the Cincinnati Cobra, Ezra
That's
Charles.
Him.
Him and Jersey Joe, that was some fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Oh, yeah.
Jersey Joe Walcott and Ezra Charles.
The black ball players, they didn't have a chance. Pete, Satchel Paige, listen to this. Satchel Paige, when he was 59 years old, pitched three shutout innings for the Kansas City Royals and gave up a double to Carl Yastrzemski and nothing else. Three hitless innings, scoreless innings, when he was 59 years old. Think about that. 59.
Wow. Leave us with something this morning. Joe Williams is with us. I want to give you back. I never get you back enough times. I mean, wrap it up. I mean, we got to. You said you picked already your winner, and that's close enough. That's good enough for me.
There's no guarantees. We've seen upsets in the Super Bowl.
Please.
Pete, I know you don't watch pro football very much.
No, I don't.
If at all. But this Mahomes is something different. He is something special. I've never seen anything like him. There's no way to defend him. And I would put it all on him. I mean, nothing against Brady. But he's not the player that this kid is. And when you look at his record and what he's accomplished, you know, 2 years ago they went to the AFC Championship game against the Patriots and should have and could have easily won that game, and through no fault of his. He had a player jump offside, and New England went on to win. But then they win it last year. They're going to win another one this year. If he stays upright and they can keep him upright, there's no telling how many of them he can win.
Who's the best you ever saw play the game, quarterback? Him?
Joe Montana.
There you go.
Wow. He was money.
See, I'm such a Namath fan just because of lifestyle and everything. I love Broadway Joe. I told you, we hosted that golf course thing with Ken Stabler that time.
Oh, yeah, we've done that.
Remember that? I think we went on that together, me and you.
Oh, yeah, hell yes. We've Stabler come into town, and we drink Dom Perignon over at Buddy Martin's house.
Buddy, there's another one.
I tell you what, Terry Bradshaw sat right there in Buddy's living room with me and Kenny and a couple of guys from Coors. Bradshaw told Stabler, looked him right in the eye, says, "You're the best quarterback I ever saw with 2 minutes to go."
Yep.
You know what Stabler said? "You're a smart man."
Yeah. Oh, listen. He said to me, we're talking, and that was, you know, before the break in the action. He said, "Yeah, I'd like to bury the hatchet with Al Davis."
Yeah.
Right in his back.
That's right.
And they're drinking.
Yeah.
And he said, last one, because we got to pause. You know, he was always known as a snake. You know what he called his daughters? He called them the Snakeettes.
The Snakeettes?
He called them the Snakeettes. And my girl's the Snakeettes. That boy runs like a snake.
Yeah. He was a runner in high school, you know, when Bear Bryant recruited him to Alabama. You know, he was basically an option quarterback.
He told me.
Yeah, but he was something. They don't make him like Kenny Stabler anymore.
Down three or four, he was a better storyteller.
Yes, he was. Oh, there was no round three or four. It was round 10 or 11.
That's what I'm saying. Get past four, he was rolling.
He'd stay up all night, play the next morning.
Him and Joe Namath.
Both of them.
Oh, man. I love you, Hitman. I love you with my heart. Thank you.
Pete?
You the man.
Good stuff.
You man. All right, we break. Come back. I'm looking at the Dominion lawsuit. I leave you as we turn around. Dominion, this is what they're saying, will certainly file more lawsuits. Thomas Clare, a lawyer representing the company, is now saying there are other individuals who have spoken the big lie and put forward those defamatory statements about Dominion, but then there's also players in the media that have to be amplified as well. Get ready. My column is up. It's 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. Go to columns. And they're telling you, this is what I said. I hope I'm wrong about when we printed. There'll certainly be more lawsuits. Thomas Clare, the lawyer representing the company, told the Times there are other individuals who have spoken the big lie, put forward their defamatory statements about Dominion. There's also going to be players in the media that have amplified it. Get ready. 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com.
We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
Monday, everyone, back here tomorrow morning at 5. Stephen, this afternoon, we'll talk about what's coming with the lawsuits. Groundbreaking, and again, the advanced FUE treatment from Advanced Hair Restoration here in Denver. And again, if you have a receding hairline, especially younger guys, bald spots, thinning hair, men or women, young guys, this can get way ahead of it. I met with a doctor, Tanya Pauls, and their highly experienced team, state-of-the-art technology, the best of the best. The advanced FUE treatment takes one day. It's pain-free. And get your new hair going really the very next day. 100% guaranteed. Advanced Hair always receives the highest standard of care, well beyond CDC guidelines, to celebrate Advanced Hair's grand opening in Denver. They're rolling now. Special financing, $250 off, 250 free hair grafts. Again, call the number. Talk to them. You can do it for somebody else if you wish, or ask somebody to look at it. You can visit advancedhair.com, advancedhair.com, advancedhair.com. Or call them. They're very sophisticated, very private, very confidential. 720-459-HAIR, 720-459-HAIR, 720-459-HAIR today. Again, it's been announced, they have Thomas Clare, a hot dog lawyer. They're coming. Everybody said, oh, I'm not afraid of that. Be afraid. Be very afraid. See you tomorrow morning at 5.